Hi, this is Tom Onder, a member of Stark & Stark's Bankruptcy and Creditors Rights Group, with New Jersey's legal update for the week ending September 23rd, 2005. In this week's podcast, I will discuss some important tips for commercial landlords when a tenant files for bankruptcy protection. When a tenant files for bankruptcy protection, generally all creditors, including commercial landlords, are stopped from proceeding against the debtor in any state court or other actions. However, as a commercial landlord, you have specific rights that are granted to you as well as the debtor in regards to your commercial lease. Oftentimes, commercial landlords, when a debtor files for a bankruptcy petition, will really wish that they could evict the debtor and get a new tenant in so that a revenue stream is maintained for the commercial landlord. However, due to the debtor's filing of bankruptcy and the protections of the bankruptcy code, a commercial landlord needs to be cautious on how he proceeds. Before any actions are taken, the commercial landlord should review the lease to determine if the lease has either expired or terminated. The bankruptcy code's automatic stay of all actions only affects property of the bankruptcy estate. If a lease had expired prior to the bankruptcy filing and was not terminated at the time of the bankruptcy filing, then the landlord may not need to proceed in bankruptcy and may be able to proceed with his rights in state court, such as eviction. However, if the lease had not expired prior to the bankruptcy and had only terminated, then the bankruptcy code's automatic stay may apply. What this means to landlords is that they are now governed by the bankruptcy code and cannot proceed against the debtor and cannot evict the debtor or proceed or collect against any property of the debtor until given authority by the bankruptcy court. If this occurs, it's important to have an attorney review the debtor's bankruptcy petition and schedules to see how the landlord is being treated in the debtor's petition. Additionally, it's advisable to find out what type of petition that the debtor filed. In bankruptcy, a debtor can file a Chapter 7 petition, which is basically a liquidation of all assets, a Chapter 11 petition, which is a reorganization of assets, or a Chapter 13 petition, which is a reorganization for individuals. In the commercial context, the leases for a commercial landlord usually fall within either a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 11 proceeding. Having an attorney review the debtor's petition and schedules will determine how the landlord is going to be treated within the debtor's bankruptcy petition. Specifically, the debtor is required to list on Schedule G of his bankruptcy schedules any executory contracts or leases. This includes all leases with commercial landlords. Bankruptcy Code Section 365A provides that the debtor has 60 days from the filing of the bankruptcy petition to either assume or reject a commercial lease. For a debtor to assume a lease, he must cure all arrears, including payment arrears to the landlord. If the debtor does not, within the 60-day period, then the lease will be deemed rejected. The importance of assumption or rejection for a debtor is that if the debtor assumes, then the debtor can also assign the lease. What this means for the landlord is that the debtor may assign the lease to someone that the landlord may not want in the premises. So it is vital for a landlord to contact an attorney as soon as they find out that the debtor has filed a bankruptcy petition. If the debtor decides to reject the lease, then the lease will be deemed terminated as of the rejection date. The debtor, though, may also request an extension of time from the bankruptcy court to extend the period to which he has to either assume or reject from 60 days to some other period of time. The importance of this is that a landlord could be stymied without anyone in the property being able to rent and being able to produce a revenue stream if the debtor continually requests an extension. So it is very important that a landlord contact a bankruptcy attorney to monitor the case as well as to file any oppositions to an extension of time. Remember, as a landlord, you want revenues coming in, not an empty building. In addition to finding out whether the lease has expired or terminated, the debtor's schedules, his petition, and how he's treating the landlord, as well as if the debtor is assuming or rejecting the lease, the landlord also has claims against the debtor. There's actually three types of claims that a landlord should be cognizant of. The first type of claim is a pre-petition bankruptcy claim for any unpaid assessments. As previously said, the debtor is required, if he's going to assume the lease or assign the lease, to cure all arrears. If the debtor doesn't cure all of these arrears, then the landlord will have a general unsecured claim for the pre-petition amounts owed. What this means is that the landlord will share in distribution for what other unsecured claimants receive. If at the end of the bankruptcy case, the debtor's estate only is paying unsecured creditors 10 cents on the dollar, then the landlord will receive 10 cents on the dollar for its unsecured claim. In addition to the unsecured claim, the landlord is also granted a priority claim. An administrative priority claim is paid before unsecured as well as other claimants. What this means is that the landlord, if he possesses an administrative priority claim, will be paid before other claimants. The administrative priority claim will be granted for any amounts that are owed to the landlord from the petition date to the actual rejection by the debtor. Finally, the landlord will hold another unsecured claim against the debtor for any claims owed after rejection. Thus, if the 60-day period expires and the lease is considered rejected, the landlord will hold another unsecured claim for any post-rejection damages. For all of these claims, it is extremely important that the landlord file a proof of claim within the debtor's case. The proof of claim will provide the landlord status as an unsecured creditor within the debtor's bankruptcy case for the pre-petition rent that's owed, as well as any post-rejection rent owed. In addition to these other issues, the landlord should also think about whether it wants the tenant in the premises or whether it wants another tenant in the premises. What I mean by this is that some commercial spaces can only be occupied by certain tenants, or there may not be a plethora of tenants ready to move in. If this is the case, the landlord may wish to think about renegotiating the terms of the lease to keep that tenant in the building and to keep a revenue stream coming in. This will be a business decision that the landlord has to make. If the landlord truly wants the debtor out of the location and the debtor intends to reject the lease, then it's advisable for the landlord to try to have its attorney negotiate a consent order that provides for a rejection date and grants the landlord relief from the bankruptcy court's automatic stay to proceed against any actions. As cited, there's a number of issues that commercial landlords need to know about when a tenant files for bankruptcy: whether the lease has been terminated or expired, what the petitions and schedules actually say, whether the debtor is going to assume and assign or reject the lease, what types of claims that the landlord has, and whether the landlord actually still wants the debtor to remain in the premises. As a number of these issues involve the statutory constraints of the bankruptcy code, it's advisable to contact a bankruptcy attorney as soon as you find out about the debtor's bankruptcy petition. The bankruptcy attorney will be able to tell you what your legal rights and remedies are concerning the debtor and his bankruptcy case. Should you wish to learn more about what a commercial landlord can do when a tenant files for bankruptcy in this week's New Jersey Legal Update, you can contact me, Tom Onder, at 609-219-7458. Or you can email me at tonder@stark-stark.com. And make sure to tune in to next Friday for another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. In the meantime, visit us on the web at stark-stark.com or at njlawblog.com. for regular updates on important legal developments taking place in the Garden State. Thanks and have a great day.